24 hours a day, 7 days a week. On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BashaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
Millionaire Mentorship. Millionaire Mentorship. The Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Bashani Radio and iHeart Radio.
You are tuned in to the Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Bashani Radio. Always talking about everything from New York City. We are available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and anywhere a mobile device is available. This is Dr. Herbert Harris, author of the 12 Universal Laws of Success. I am your transformational speaker who is now engaged in transforming the lives of 5 million people, helping them be what they want to be, do what they want to do, and have whatever they want to have. If you want to attract health, wealth, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and money, you are in the right place. I would like to thank our listeners for tuning into our program and sharing it with others. You have made our program the number one new program on the Bashani Network. And with listeners like you, nothing is impossible. Please continue to listen, share with your friends, and subscribe. Be sure to visit our website, www.herbertharris.com. for tips and tools to help you live your dreams. That's www.herbertharris.com. Our quote for today is consistent with our theme. Our theme for today is overcoming adversity. And so I have a couple of quotes. One says, "Your hardest times often lead to the greatest moments in your life." I'll say it again. Your hardest times often lead to the greatest moments in your life. There's an old African proverb that says, smooth seas do not make skillful sailors. Smooth seas do not make skillful sailors. And so I guess the bottom line on overcoming adversity is that it's a good thing. Resistance makes you grow, makes you go beyond yourself, makes you do things that you never thought you could do. I'd like to open with an inspirational story. And today I want to talk about a lady who is just, I've admired her for so long, Osceola McCarty. Now you say, well, who is Osceola McCarty? She is a washerwoman. And for the young folks who don't know what that is, a washerwoman is somebody who does other people's laundry for a living. She was a washerwoman all her life, taking in other people's laundry to wash and press and return them to people. She was a Black woman, born 1908, and as a result of some serious trauma with her mother, but she received the Presidential Citizens Medal. That's the second highest civilian award that a person can receive. She received an honorary doctorate from Harvard University. And when she was over 80 years old in 1996, she carried the Olympic torch through part of Mississippi. So you have to wonder, who was this incredible, magnificent, authentic lady, Osceola McCarty? She was a lady who retired in 1995 from being a washerwoman and she had saved over $280,000. She set aside some for herself, and she gave $150,000 to the University of Southern Mississippi to fund scholarships for worthy, needy students to give them a chance that she never had. So what is the lesson from Osceola McCarty? Number one, it's not who you are, it's what you do. Number two, happiness has no price tag. Number three, systematic saving over a period of time can create wealth. When she looked back over her life, she never made more than $150 a week, at most $200. And so she was able still to live, survive, and accumulate over $280,000. Systematic saving over life, over a period of time, can create wealth. Another thing we learn is that when you give all you have to help others, the world smiles back at you. So, Ms. Osceola McCarty, we thank you for the lesson of a life well lived and for a great lesson in overcoming adversity. I picked that theme today because our guest today is an unusual lady. I call her the Renaissance Woman. Miss Iris Logan is a mom of four. She's been a travel agent. She was a department manager at Walmart, a paraprofessional at the public school system, ran inventory control for one of the shipping companies, and she likes to call herself Lady Phoenix. And this is the personality behind her syndicated Beauty for Ashes radio program. Iris encourages her listeners to find the silver lining in the darkness of life. And she, let me tell you something, folks. She has so many titles. She has an administrative and consulting company, The Dotting Line, that provides growth, reorganization, and springboard strategies to establish mid-range and startup firms. She has the Lady Phoenix Ministry to equip believers to cooperate in death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. She has In the Spirit Media and Publications, which is a company that helps produce her shows. She has another About My Daddy's Business for bringing administrative, emotional, and practical and spiritual support to people who need it. And then the Iridescent Publishing. This is a conglomerate that's housed under her parent company, The Collective Enterprise. Let me tell you something, folks. Miss Iris Logan is the great example of an entrepreneur, an editor, an educator, a mistress of ceremonies, a minister, a mother, and we'll call her Lady Iris Logan. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the Millionaire Mentorship Show, Lady Logan.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Harris.
Well, let me tell you, when I read your bio, I am so inspired, and it just amazes me how you have squeezed so many activities into a relatively short life. You're a young lady. How do you get to do so much?
It's all by the grace of God. It's also by planning and being productive and staying focused.
Staying focused. Well, you know, Iris, many times when I meet entrepreneurs like yourself, I always like to know where they came from, their family, you know, where'd you grow up, a little bit about your early life, the beginning of Iris Logan.
Wow. Both sides of my family, my maternal and paternal families, hail from the middle of nowhere, Mississippi. No one would ever know the name. I have three sisters and four brothers up under me. Like most of us in the South, I was raised, you know, every summer with my grandparents on the farm. And then during the year, we lived the city life and learned how to survive in the concrete jungle. So just being raised by single mom and single aunties and us having just a swarm of cousins and of us all being single, independent women, I learned how to hold my own on my own, but to also work collectively as a family unit. Just, you know, we were. It was my mom and she had four other sisters and we all between us had about 10, 15 kids. Mm. So that is how you know, I learned to juggle so many things and maneuver so many things and just live life that way.
Mm. So now you grew up, did you grow up on a farm?
I grew up in the city. I think we ended up moving to Atlanta when I was two, but we country folks. So every summer, my grandmother would call to my mom and say, hey, send me my baby. Don't tell nobody, but I'm the favorite. So I spent most of my summers growing up on the farm with them until I was about high school age. I had the luxury of being able to work in the house. My grandmother would never let me go out and work in the field. So I would sit on the porch and shuck corn and hoe peas and slop the pigs and all that good stuff.
Well, let me tell you, I think all of us had that. That was a part of, you might say, the our culture. I have pictures of me with at the tobacco field with my dad on a mule. And my son looked at it, he said, Dad, is that you? I'm like, yeah, that's me. That experience really, I think, gives children a real sense of connection to the land. You know, when think about your grandparents, did they have a lot of money? How did they make do?
The rural town where we are from in Mississippi at that time, there was the Bryan factory. Nobody probably even knows a Bryan factory. That was the commerce in town. So everybody worked in the family and then you would come home to the country and everybody owned the land. And so you would work the land. Everybody farmed, everybody had pigs, everybody had animals and horses. And so that was the norm. That is what we did. And I so agree with you that we have a generation that's disconnected from that. We have to teach them work ethic. They didn't live it or grow up. It wasn't a part of life, of what it was they had to learn and know to survive.
Wow. You had to learn that work ethic. That's great. So now after you grew up, what did you do? You went to college, you went to work. What did you do? Because with so many jobs you have had, I tell you, you've done a little bit of everything. So tell us a little about your early education, high school, college.
Actually, education came pretty easy for me when I was in school. I'm not going to brag on myself. I'll give God all the glory. My mom always brags that when I was in about the sixth grade, a teacher encouraged her to have my IQ tested and it tested on genius level. I actually, my senior year of high school, missed like the last 3 months of high school, and I graduated in the lower upper 10%. So education has, and obtaining knowledge has never been difficult to come to me. I left high school, graduated high school. I did about a semester and a half at Atlanta University. I endeavored and started out to major in mass communications with a minor in Spanish. But like with everybody else, like took a detour. I got married, had children, started to raise a family. So I have about a gazillion credits in early childhood education, a couple of certifications, just, you know, in and out of school, picking up things as I've obtained all of this collective of energy and knowledge that I have, just learning things here and there, up under people, internships, people taking me under their wing.
Now, at some point you decided to become an entrepreneur. How did that come about?
It came step by step, piece by piece. I actually stumbled into it. I was at a point where my children were pretty much at the age where I was comfortable with sending everybody off to school and daycare. I started in education. I was an educator at that time. And I had a friend call me. She called me and she said, Iris, I need you to talk to somebody. And I'm on the phone talking to this random stranger. And she's asking me a million questions about everything. And I'm thinking, why are you asking me? I had no idea about what it was. But as I sat and started to think about it, I began to rattle off information. And when the conversation ended, my girlfriend called me back and she said, thank you so much. I said, why did you have her call me? I don't know anything about that. She said, yes, you do. She said, you know everything. She said, why do you think we called you? And it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. And I sat down all night and I thought about it. My girlfriend said to me, she said, you know everything. Why do you think we called you? She said, this is your business. This is what you do. And I was like, wow, I had been 10 years with people calling me, pulling information out of me, you know, here and there, projects, this and that. And it really, that's when it really hit me that I had been conducting a consulting service for a going on 10 years, even while I was married. And so it seemed like, you know, God just kind of pulled the light on in the ceiling fan and said, hello. So from that point forward, I kind of start taking steps as things came to me, as, you know, I just put my hand to it and I discovered I had skills and gifts and things that I didn't even know that were inside of me. And they all have kind of just, I won't say tornado or snowball, but they've all kind of just panned out to these individual business entities that I have.
You know, Iris, this is a great place to take a pause for the cause. And I want to share something that we've done that's really, really special. It's a brand new song that we recorded. It was just released, and this will be the first time it's been played on the air. We are premiering it on the Millionaire Mentorship Show. And the name of the song is The Time to Love Is Here, something that's really perfect for this present state of events in our nation and in the world. So let me plug in The Time to Love Is Here by my musical side, Dr. H.
Empty, singing a song the sand makes you kind of wonder why everything seems so bad. So many sad faces gazing into space, waiting for somebody else to make the world a better place. Leave it up to the other man or to another day. Anything goes down, be looking the other way. I say, come on, everybody, come on, everyone. The time to love is here, let these troubles, they be done. I tell you, come on, everybody, come on, everyone. The time to love is here, let these troubled days be done. And sit and wonder how things could be this way. I guess we'd better tell them this is a brand new day. Don't leave it up to the other man or to another day. Take your life into your hands, make it work out your way. It's not the number of times you stumble down and fall upon the ground. It's the number of times you pick yourself up and keep on moving on to meet your goal. Come on, everybody. Come on, everyone. The time to love is here. Let these troubles, they be done. I tell you, come on, everybody. Come on, everyone. The time to love is here. Let these troubled days be done.
Everybody, that was our new recording, The Time to Love Is Here. and it's available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Amazon, on streaming. You can download it, you can purchase it, and listen, get a copy, share it with people, sing along, because we believe that the time to love is truly here. So folks, get your copy of The Time to Love is Here by Dr. H on Amazon, iTunes, Spotify, and most digital platforms. You are now tuned in to the Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Bishani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. We are available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and anywhere a mobile device is available. And now, back to our program with Iris Logan, Renaissance woman par excellence. Well, you know, it's interesting, and I think you've done what I think many people wish they could do. You had something you like doing. Clearly, you care about people. And clearly, you have the ability to communicate and make them feel comfortable. And so you were a consultant and didn't even know it.
No idea.
Yeah. But then once you figured it out, you say, well, when you have something you love doing, the next thing is to figure out how to get paid.
Yes, indeed. Definitely.
So now how did you make that transition from being, you know, like a very wise consultant to really making it into a business where you could generate income?
That kind of came step by step too. Just immediately when business was said to me, that directly to me inferred, okay, this has to be profitable. So I sought myself out. And if there are any entrepreneurs who are listening, and this is what you really endeavor to do, I want you to understand that you're going to walk before you run. You're going to go from one level to another level. So I began to take people and financially say, okay, whatever you can pay me. I then had to stretch my faith out and graduate to another level and say, this is what I charge and this is it. If you can't afford to pay me what I charge, then I'm not the person for you. Mm. This is a quick FYI for somebody listening. When people tell you that they don't have money or they can't afford to pay you, not so. It's that they don't have money for you. Because as we know, Dr. Harris, if we want something, we'll come up with a way to get it and find it. So that means they don't want to give it to you. They want to take it and go buy a lottery ticket or buy a pack of cigarettes, but they have it. Mm. So I progressed from accepting what was given to I increased my faith to setting a standard. And then I still gradually do it. I have to go from one faith to another, from one glory to another. I have to go from, I no longer take $10 an hour. So now it's $50 an hour to do a consulting session. Mm-hmm. I had to graduate and go from faith to faith. You have to stretch out there. You can't stay stuck and expect it to come to you. You have to flow and release all of that energy to have what it is you're looking for come to you.
Now, many times I know with our young people, they may not understand that transition. When you were building your business or starting your business, were you still working?
I initially was working and I hit that faith point where I said, I can see that this can grow and be something bigger than what it is doing now. So I'm going to have to let all these W-2s go. I'm not going to do the part-time. I'm going to altogether fully go in and press in for something bigger to for this to be what supports me and for what I stand on. And again, that took faith. It just depends on where you are. You might be at the point where you're working full time, but you only have enough faith to say, okay, I'm going to work part time. That's fine. You'll eventually graduate and go from one level to the other one, but you have to take a step and put yourself out there. Dr. Harris always says that as you go forward and you release it and just go forward, that energy from the universe will come back to you. It'll give you what you put out. So most definitely.
Well, and I like that point because so many times people don't realize, like you said, that you have to crawl before you can walk. there seems to be a formula that people work on a job, and as they get their clientele, their skill level together, and then I think the entrepreneurial spirit comes through. They have to, as you said, at some point you got to cut bait and step off on faith.
All right. Yes, sir. Yes. Most definitely. We have such a capitalistic system in this country that we currently see what we're going through. We see it falling. Your introductory story, sir, really touched something in me. I did not set out when I started this business in a greater endeavor to make money. I continued to do what I had been doing, and that was to help people as a whole. My parent company is the Collective Enterprise. In so many ways, and even in all of those different businesses, I don't always necessarily go forward to make money. I go forward to help people who I see are in a position to press forward and be greater and to help them. And as I bring these people together collectively, they always catapult each other. One of my business entities always keeps the other one going. And so I think what we're experiencing now in the United States is going to further bring us back down, but back together.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I also hear multiple streams of income.
Most definitely. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Financially, it is advised that you do have multiple streams of income. I used to always teach my daughters when they were young, and I was teaching them financial and accounting principles. You never keep your eggs in one basket. I bank with a bank now that's horrible. It was a great bank, but now, you know, they don't hardly have any branches. They don't keep any hours. So you want to always diversify portfolio. Mm-hmm. Dr. Harris, even friend-wise, you want to always make sure that in your circle of people that you're never the smartest, you're never the biggest. I always like to keep a network of people, and I think about it in my brain as if when you drop a pebble in the water, it's going to make circles. You're going to start out with a small, tight circle close to your pebble, and then it's going to fan out and get bigger. And so I always like to network that way.
Wow. You know, that as I'm listening, I keep thinking how much courage it takes to do that. I think many of us get in that point where we face that big obstacle. Many entrepreneurs start out, but they'll have a big challenge and somehow just throw in the towel and quit. Did you ever face a challenge that made you think about and say, man, maybe I made a wrong decision. Maybe I need to go back and get a job. Let me see if they're hiring down the block here. Have you ever faced a challenge like that? And if so, how did you overcome it?
I faced it twice. I faced it maybe 6 months after I stepped out and said, I'm going to do this full time. I bumped into a situation in my life where I actually then ended up homeless with 4 children. So at that point, I had to make a decision whether I was going to continue to step out on faith or whether I was going to go back and get a full-time job. I continued to step out on faith, and it worked out beautifully. I actually ended up sleeping out of the car for a few months and with my children, but I had picked up this really big client, and I continued to do the work with him, attempting at the same time to maneuver myself out of the contract. And I said, okay, I'm going to get you to the point in this project where you can take it from there. And I did this for about 3 weeks, and he continued to say, no, ma'am, you're not. You're going to finish the work. So finally he said, you know, I'm going to sue you for breach of contract if you don't finish this project and tell me what's going on. So I came clean with him. I was juggling a lot of things at that point. The school system had found out, okay, I'm sleeping out of the car with the kids, and they were putting pressure on me. Well, you got to do something. You know, if they come to school another day like this, we're going to take them into custody. I was having issues with my ex-husband, just everything that comes along with that. And I finally told him, because I said, okay, fine. I don't have anything to lose anyway. Uh-huh. What are you going to do, take the children? So I told him. He said, is that all? He said, that's the big problem. He put me and my children in a hotel for about 6 months. He said, okay, I'm going to put you in here for 6 months, finish the project. I finished the project. He said, you did a great job. He said, thank you so much. He said, now let's do the next project. I said, sir, I explained to you, I can't keep going. He put us in there for 6 months. I continued to work on the project, the new project with him. Right around Thanksgiving, he put us in a 3-bedroom apartment. He paid for that 3-bedroom for a whole year. Before I got financially, and then I transitioned into my home. But during that time frame, he paid cell phone bills and storage bills and gas bills. And he put shocks on my little Toyota. My Toyota wasn't even worth $700 worth of shocks. I had premium gas and Chick-fil-A and just every, you know, he really provided and sustained for me and my children in that whole year and a half time frame, all because I chose to press through. Wow. I chose to press through and say, okay, I'm nothing is going to stop me. I'm just going to keep going. This is what I set my mind to do. And this is what is going to come to pass. If you think it is going to come to pass, if you speak it is going to come to pass, if you write it down and make it plain, it's going to come to pass. As Dr. Harris tells us, put the energy out, it's going to come back and just flow with it. And everything worked out beautifully.
Well, you know, number one, Iris, that is a phenomenal story. And I think that many people, many entrepreneurs who are at that point, like you said, just when you get ready to throw in the towel, that if you keep the faith, it's almost like priming the pump. You know, in the country, you have the pump in the yard, and they always keep a cup of water next to that pump. And I know as a kid, it's like, they're like, don't drink that water. Like, wow, okay, what's up with that? You know, is it bad? I said, no, that's the water. You got to pour that water in to prime the pump so the pump can give you that water.
Yes.
And so in life, when we are confronted with many of the challenges, our priming the pump is like putting in that extra measure of faith.
Yes, that extra measure
of I can do it, you know.
Yes, I would encourage anybody, if you're at that point, if you even see you're going to hit that brick wall, just stand, just keep standing, just hold on. I discovered when you get to a brick wall, it actually, if you get to it and push, you go right through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or you might climb on top of it so you can see further.
Most definitely. Ooh, I like that, Dr. Harris.
Well, I think another one of the lessons that you shared is authenticity.
Mm.
When people have you working for them and they know that you're doing a good job, that creates a level of belief in you. And when they see, they don't know what the challenge is, but when you share it with them, you know, they say pride cometh before the fall.
Indeed.
And sometimes we'll be so proud that we don't want to tell the story and say, look, I'm broke. As the guy said, I'm busted. I'm busted and something. He said, but I can be trusted. Okay.
Broke, busted, and disgusted. Yes.
Yeah, busted, disgusted, but I can be trusted. And when you can share your story with somebody who believes in you, as the person said, he said, that's all. You know, that's solvable. So many times our challenges have to do with money. And you'd be amazed at how many people will help you. And I'll tell you, let's do this. I'm gonna share a story with you about that, because you really motivated me to let our listeners know that if you believe, and you believe and you act on your belief, you know, you didn't just sit back and say, oh, I'm gonna do this, but you said I'm gonna do it and get it done. Before
yes.
we take our pause for the cause, give your website. I wanna make sure that people know who you are and the best website and how people can contact you. You're in the Atlanta area, so give your website and any contact information, and we're going to take a pause for the cause.
My website is thecollectiveenterprise@yahoo.com is my email address. The website is thecollectiveenterprise.com. You can also find me on Facebook, The Lady Phoenix Ministry. My contact number is 404-734-2267.
Say that again.
404-734-2267.
Okay. All right, folks, we're going to take a pause for the cause, and then we're going to be right back after some words from our sponsors to share more insight with Iris Logan, Renaissance Woman.
This is Dr. Herbert Harris. You know, it's graduation time again. From high school, college, trade schools, it's time to give the perfect gift, the gift that keeps on giving. Get an autographed copy of the 12 Universal Laws of Success for your loved ones. For only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, you not only get the 204-page book, but you also get over $100 in bonuses, including the workbook, audios, 12 affirmation poster, and much more. Go to www.12, that's the number 12, ULS.com. That's www.12ULS.com and get your perfect gift. You are now tuned in to the Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Bishani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. We are available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and anywhere a mobile device is available.
We're going to continue now with our talk with our lady. I call it the Renaissance Woman, the Renaissance Lady, Miss Iris Logan, entrepreneur first class from Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome back, Iris.
Thank you, Dr. Harris.
You know, when you went off, when we finished the first part, you shared how that angel, that person had come into your life and helped you. At one time I was in New York and we were doing a real estate deal, a flip deal, where you buy a piece of property and once you get the contract, you turn around and sell it. And so you literally use the purchase price to finance it. You just have to have enough money to hold the deal together, you know, while it all comes together.
Yes, ma'am.
I had a partner. And we were there at the place, and in order to, a two-part close, in order to close, I needed $5,000, and that's what he was supposed to be bringing the money. So once we delivered the $5,000, then I could go right into the next room. We had the other buyer waiting, sign the contract there. They'd give me the money. We'd pay the thing off, and we were going to come out of there with a cool $100,000.
Wow. Nice.
So my part, it's like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. And my partner's not, I'm calling. Now, we didn't have the cell phones like we had now. I'm calling his house, his mama's house, his auntie's house, his girlfriend's house. Okay. And at this point, I'm about ready to panic. And I look out the window and I see a man walking down the street. And he was one of the Harlem millionaires. He was very, Lloyd Dickens. He was one of the millionaires in Harlem, that a state legislator, I mean, a legend. I saw him walking down the street. I knew that he was on the board of directors at the bank around the corner. So I literally excused myself, went out, stopped him on the street. And I said, Mr. Dickens, I need $5,000. He looked at me and he said, well, for what? And I told him, I said, I got a deal upstairs. It's a flip. I got the buyers there and I got the sellers. And I don't know what happened to my partner. And if I don't get $5,000, I can't close to do the flip. And we'll lose our deposit. We won't make any money. So he said to me, he said, well, the bank is closed because in New York, the banks close at 3 o'clock. And I said, but you're on the board. And he laughed. He said, only you would say that, Harris. You're right. We go back to the bank. He literally comes in, goes to the side door. They let us in. Okay. They were, you know, how they're closing out for the day. He had them stop. He gave me $5,000 in cash. And he said, look, we don't have time to do any paperwork. I'm in a hurry. You're in a hurry. Take the money. We'll get together tomorrow. I took the $5,000, went back, closed the deal. And so if I had never gone to him and said, Mr. Dickens, I'm in trouble. I'm up the creek. He would have never had, it would have never happened. And that your story reminded me of that. So thank you so much. And to our listeners, you got to be authentic. You got to tell people what's really going on. First, you have to be delivering value. In other words, the person who helped you, if he did not believe in you, that you were doing a good job, the fact that you had a contract with him, that he was paying you, I meant that he believed in your services. And you create value for yourself so that anybody who's looking at you, when you hit that wall, but you've done your part in creating the value, then when you fess up, miracles can happen. So thank you so much for that, Iris. Woo! But I bet that wasn't the only one, was it? You got to turn your mic on.
No, sir, it has not been.
Uh-huh.
I hit another bump where I didn't have an option but to go back and work a job. I had my children in school. I really couldn't work a full-time job. I had a client, had several things going on with him. I said, hey, you know, I'm just strapped financially. I know you can't pay me any more for this project than we already have contracted. If you hear something else or somebody else you can refer me to, let me know. He called me a week later. He said, hey, I just got hired on at this warehouse. I'm running operations. I need somebody to come in and help me do inventory. He said, it's a mess. He said, I trust you. I know your work. He said, can you come in and get started? How soon can you start? I said, well, you know, I can't give you full time. I have the children at home. He said, I know. He said, just tell me what hours you want to work, how much you want to get paid per hour, and I'll put it in place for you. So I was able to work part-time hours when I could. I was able to leave and go pick the kids up, stay gone for the rest of the day, come back home, all of that. Everything worked out perfectly.
Wow.
I was able to jump that wall, and I've been running ever since.
Well, you know, Iris, one of the reasons I wanted to do our interview now is because with people with the country, with the world being in this whole pandemic crisis, that many people, the jobs that they had before are no longer going to be there, that there's going to be an entirely new economic landscape. And so it's important for people to hear from someone like yourself, which so that you can give them hope. You say, look, you can hit that rock, you can hit the hole, but if you deliver good work,
yes,
if people know you by your works, that you're able to deliver quality work, that someone will step up, and you did your part. You had primed your pump by your service.
Yeah. Yes.
And someone stepped up to help you move on.
Yes, most definitely.
Now, of all the businesses you have, what is your favorite? What is your thrust?
Ooh. That's a trick question, Dr. Harris. I'm going to say right now at this juncture, it's probably going to be the consulting piece, because it encompasses everything that I do, all of the entities and skills that I have. I enjoy it because it allows me to connect with people on a personal level. It allows me to help them gain insight personally and business-wise to be able to see how to better their businesses, but their life as a whole. It connects me with people in a way that I normally would not in business. I always try to do everything as unto God. I endeavor to set out and do the best in what I do. I don't have any advertising. I don't have a big marketing strategy. As a matter of fact, the website is pretty much brand new. I've attained business by word of mouth, just by referral. So I really enjoy connecting with people and helping them see where it is they are and where they can go and be greater and better.
Wow. Being a single mom entrepreneur, I know that, you know, in network marketing, 70% of the people coming into that industry are women. Many of them are single parents. In real estate, I used to do train real estate salespeople, women. And so as you might say, a single mom with kids, how does the relationship thing go? In other words, you have a business, that's your first alliance. How do you work out the relationship paradigm, you know, right?
Mm-hmm. The children are always my first priority in everything I do business-wise, from scheduling down to whether I can take this project if it's going to be profitable, because that's my first call. What I learned to do, though, is make them my team. So what I did was bring them into the business. It helped them to hone in their skill sets, things that I know that they have that they don't see, or that it moved them to a different level. It brought us together personally, individual relationships, and it brought us together as a family, because it taught us, you know, of course, it brought us together. We work closer together. We learn each other better. It puts me in the position to be able to teach them and mold them professionally as well. Actually, one of my entities, my children actually own it. So it's their responsibility. They're responsible for a majority of the day-to-day management of it. When projects come up, then they're responsible for putting it together, placing the timeline, you know, saying this is what we're going to do. This is what we see for this individual client and project. So it's given me the benefit to make them an asset and add assets to them in their lives. It's taken them very far. They They've got to experience and do things school-wise and even in the secular world that they would not have been able to had they not had the knowledge and the training and the grooming that they're more apt to get because they think, hey, I'm in business. I got a business. So they're more apt to listen to me on that level than me being their mom telling them something. So I've incorporated them into it as much as me being profitable is for the raising and preparing and gearing them to go into the world.
Okay. Now, as you're becoming more and more successful, how do you deal with the in my work, so many times the male female that when you're in business for yourself, you'll meet men, for example, who say, hey, this lady's going somewhere, okay? Or you'll meet other people who want to, you know, take you on their path. How do you handle that? What recommendation would you have for single moms who are in business when they experience this? Because they will.
They most definitely will. First of all, you're going to have your priority set personally. What's your focus? Where's your goal? Are you as a single mom, do you have your focus right now personally on raising the kids? Or have you reached the point in your life where, okay, I'm mom, but I also have a personal life? Do you know when it's time to cross the line and introduce a man to your children? So you have to, and we as women and as moms, we spend a lot of our early life focus on the children. And then we get older and realize, okay, wait, I don't have a life. My children are not my life and I don't have one. So you have to have some kind of personal boundaries and goals. And then you also have to realize that, you know, usually it's just really, for me, I've learned it's not that smart to mix business and personal. You got to stay focused. You got to keep one lane mixed. You stay in your lane. Things don't mix. Business and pleasure usually tend not to mix very well. Mm-hmm. So again, if you have a standard in your personal life, this is what I'm going to do. Okay. If I'm going to date somebody professionally, then I have to train myself and learn how to keep those separate. That's just plain and simple. Mm-hmm.
You know, you just said something very powerful. And I think it holds for men and women, being an entrepreneur myself, that like you said, you got to stay in your lane. and that anytime you mix the two, no matter how, and sometimes it sometimes even looks like it makes sense, you know. But if there was one piece of advice on that, I concur with you. It's like stay in your lane. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, Iris, we have covered a lot of ground today, and we've talked about, you know, your family. We've talked about the kids. You know now that there are a lot of women like yourself who are striking out into the world. What would your advice be to single moms coming out of this crisis who now have to look forward to maybe a new job, a new profession, just new choices? What would your advice be to them?
Don't be afraid. Take your time. Think it through. Pray it through. Make it plain. And go for it. Don't be afraid. All things are possible if you believe. If you feel down on the inside of you, if you know that you know down in your knower that you can do it and this is something that you can prosper and be successful in, go for it. Don't be afraid. I definitely don't want you as a single mom to think that the time and energy that you're going to have to put into this is taking away from your children. It's going to all work out in the end. It's for their benefit. I don't want you to think that you're being selfish or being a bad mom. Most definitely not. You're doing a much greater work than you would do just wasting an hour sitting around. So you can do it. Don't be afraid. Be strong and of a good courage. Take a leap, jump, and go for it.
Wow. Don't be afraid. You say take a leap, have faith, and go for it. Well, I tell you, this we've gone a little over. Our half hour has gone by so fast. I just thank you so much. Give your contact information again, because folks, I'm going to tell you, when I met Iris, I was doing a program down in Atlanta, and I was so impressed. Her professionalism, I saw her. She does great radio and podcasts herself. As a matter of fact, she interviewed me, and I said, this lady is good. So I want to thank you for being on the program. Give your contact information, and if there's any other closing words, give them, but let people know once again how they can reach out to you.
You can find me. My website is thecollectiveenterprise.com. You can email me at thecollectiveenterprise@yahoo.com. My podcast is the Beauty for Ashes podcast, available anywhere you can get a podcast. My phone number directly is 404-734-2267. Dr. Harris, thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Iris, you keep doing the great work that you're doing, because truly the best is yet to come. You are now tuned in to the Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Bishani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. We are available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and anywhere a mobile device is available.
Millionaire Mentorship. Millionaire Mentorship. The Millionaire Mentorship Show with Dr. Herbert Harris on Bishani Radio and iHeart Radio.
On demand, powerful talk radio. We global, and you can do nothing about it. BishaniRadio.com. Always talking about everything. Keep it locked.